they're going to be starting the series on prayer. Now I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you have been in church or a Christian for 5 years or less? Anyone? Okay. All right. 10 years, maybe? 10 years? About 10 years? More than 20? All right. Maybe 35, 40, 45? All right. How many of you still struggle with prayer? Oh, I'm the only one? Oh, thank you. I have a few honest people here. How many of you have fallen asleep praying recently? Okay. How many of you stop praying and then all of a sudden you end up thinking about what you're going to cook the next day? Or did I turn off that thing? Oh, what are the kids doing? There's too much silence. We all struggle with prayer. However, prayer is one of the most simplest things that we can do as a Christian. I think that the church in general has overcomplicated prayer, has put so many things, but what we want to do is go back to the scripture and go back and see what is it exactly that we should be doing in prayer. Like how do we pray? Why do we pray? What's the best way? What are we doing wrong? Why am I falling asleep? Why am I running out of things to say? And I don't know if you've heard people pray. I remember growing up in a very traditional church where people would stand up and pray during prayer service. And there was this one guy that I loved listening to him. He was a great speaker. And he could pray for an hour. And you're just listening to him. He could pray an hour and a half. And you're like, I want to go home. It's a Tuesday night. I have to get up early in the morning. But he could pray forever. He would quote the Bible through his whole prayer. And I was like, I would like one day to learn how to pray like that. Now, prayer, there are things that we need to know what prayer is, what prayer is not. Jesus prayed. Did you know that Jesus prayed? And he prayed often. And if Jesus, being the Son of God, prayed, what does that say to you and me? We need to, let's say it a little like you believe it. We need to pray. Now, what is prayer? Prayer is very simple, and we're going to go through a couple of things there. I want you to start taking notes. This series is going to be awesome. Pastor has some awesome notes that he's going to be sharing. It's very practical information so that you and I, when we start that time, that when we get to pray, we learn that it's easy. It can be very easy. We don't have to complicate things. Prayer is simply talking to God. How many of you like to talk? All the women should have raised their hands. It doesn't have to be in public, because I know a lot of people don't like to speak in public. But women by nature are talkers. By nature, we are teaching our kids. We are teaching our husbands sometimes, and we want to teach everybody. Husbands, the men are a little more quiet, but when they get into a topic that they like, that's it. Forget it. They don't breathe. They just keep on going. So when we're talking about prayer, one thing that we need to understand is that it is simply talking to God. It is taking, but it's also making a time and a place that allows God to speak back to us. It's not that we're going there and giving God a list of things. Here, God, here's my list of all the things I need. Please just fulfill them. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's not Amazon. We're not going there to place an order. We are talking to God. We are allowing him to speak back to us. And let me tell you, many times people say, well, God doesn't speak like he used to. God still speaks today. God will speak to you. If you pay attention, God is constantly speaking to you and me through the different signs, through nature, in his word. How many of you have been about to do something and you are reminded of a Bible verse that kind of tells you you shouldn't be doing that? Or how many of you are doing something and all of a sudden you get this feeling like, I don't think I need to do this. Or maybe you're doing something, you're doing the dishes, you're cleaning, and all of a sudden you feel this need to pray for someone. And God is constantly speaking to each and every one of us. Problem is that we don't necessarily take time to listen. Another thing is, prayer is a back and forth. And it's a continuous conversation with God. It's something that goes on all the time. It doesn't necessarily have to be when you kneel down for half an hour and you're done with prayer. Some of my preferred time of prayer is when I'm riding the motorcycle. There's no one there. It's just me and the bike. I can talk to my husband when we come to a stop, but it's like, hey, having fun? Yeah, you're okay? Yeah. Did you see that pothole? And that's it. But I am on the motorcycle. There's nothing but noise, the wind, and I can have these long conversations with God. At work, you're doing your job. Listen, I had to understand and relearn what prayer was, that is simply talking to God all the time, bringing God into your daily life. I don't know how many of you work with spreadsheets in Excel, and those spreadsheets can sometimes have the devil inside them. And you're trying to work with the formula, and you copy the formula, and somehow something went wrong, and everything else is messed up. And instead of cursing at the computer, Lord, enlighten me. Show me what I'm doing wrong. Sometimes you'll be driving, and if you drive in New Jersey, you need to pray a lot. If you drive in this area, oh, you need to pray a lot. If you get on the parkway or the turnpike or 287, you need to pray, because people need Jesus. They need to learn how to drive too. But constantly, we need to pray. And it is so much easier when we understand that we don't have to kneel down to pray, that it is something that we are constantly doing, and that we can have that back and forth with God all the time. Now, in Matthew chapter 5 and 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was talking about different principles and different things that we needed to learn. And in chapter 6, Jesus tells us what is prayer and what is not. So in where it says Jesus and prayer, go back a slide. Yep, that one. So he tells us how not to pray. He says, do not pray like the hypocrites who are doing it in public so that they can be seen by others. They already have their reward. Don't do that. He also says, and don't be babbling, repeating words over and over like pagans do. That's not prayer. So let's have that clear. Standing in front of everybody and making a long prayer, even though it may sound pretty, that's not necessarily praying. And when you pray like that, people will be admiring you. But I wonder, does God really listen? I don't know. But he says, do not be like the hypocrites who just stand doing it so people can see them. Do not be babbling and just repeating words. That's not it. But he says, and then we're going to see, and this is what the passage we're going to be reading today, and these are the points that I want you to just remember and take home with you. How to pray. The first thing that Jesus says, you don't do like the other people do. You're going to go into your private room. You're going to go into your private. It's going to be between you and God. Prayer is between you and God. If you want to have a good relationship with your spouse, who do you need to talk to? Your spouse. Thank you. It's not that complicated. Don't. If I want to have a good relationship with my husband, Patrick, I'm not going to be having all the conversations with Lisa. I need to have my conversations with my husband. When I want to have a relationship with God, I need to talk to God, and I need to go and have those conversations just between me and God. And we're going to go through all these other points as we go through Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to go reading verses 9 through 13. So let's go to that slide. And this is what Jesus says. This then is how you should pray. And let's read it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I can't hear you. Come on, help me here. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. How many of you learned that prayer when you were little? It was like one of the first things that make you, and, you know, you probably have said it 1,000 times in, not more than that. Probably if you were going to church every Sunday, you probably said it a lot. So this is the model that Jesus said, and he says, this is how you should pray. One thing that I want you to understand is that he's not saying this is the only prayer. This is not a template. This is it's like a sample. It's like an outline. It gives you the points that you need to hit when you're praying. And that's what we're going to go over today. The first thing is, in verse 9, that it says, this then, go to the next one. This then is how you should pray. Who are we addressing? Our Father.
So Jesus doesn't say, our God, our creator of all heaven and earth, or Jehovah, or Lord of hosts. He is addressing God as our Father. He's letting us know that when we come in prayer, we're talking to our daddy. And actually, the word that Jesus used, that is used in this, in remember how Pastor was talking about the Greek and he was using, well, there's a couple of words that we may know. So this is one that is very easy. The Greek word for father is pater. And in Aramaic, which is a language that Jesus spoke, it would have been Abba. And that is a term of endearment. It's like saying daddy. Now, I don't know how many of you had a good relationship with your dad growing up, but I did. I did, and I do miss him a lot. And one of the things was that every time I said papi, you know, that's that daddy, it didn't matter what he was doing. He would stop what he was doing, and he would listen to what I had to say. I had this close relationship with him, and I knew I could talk to him about anything. And I know that many people can't see God as a good father because they didn't have a good relationship with their earthly father. I remember in my younger years when I was a youth leader, and there was this young man, and he was on fire with God, but he could never pray to God as a father. In English, you is you. You would say you to an elder person or to a young person. But in Spanish, there's different words. So tú is for someone that you have, you know, you have a good relationship, someone about your age, mira tú, you know. But you would use usted to someone who was older as a sign of respect. And this young man could never talk to God as in you, as in tú, like I have a close relationship. He would talk to God as usted, like he had to keep a distance from God. And I was very curious, and I'm always very honest. So I asked him, I was like, why do you pray like that? And he explained to me, he didn't grow up with his father. He grew up with a grandfather, and the grandfather was very authoritative and didn't have that closeness, didn't have that relationship of a daddy. So he could not see God as a father. He struggled with that idea. Now we have, and it took him a while, and then eventually God revealed himself to this young man, and he actually was able to see God as daddy. That's very important for us to understand when we start praying. When we go to pray, we're not going to a God that is very far away. We're not going to a God that is angry at us. We're going to our daddy. We're going to someone that loves us with an everlasting love. And when you have that understanding, your prayer is going to change. Because you don't have to worry, is he angry at me? Is he mad at me? Did I do something wrong? Listen, God loves you with an everlasting and unconditional love. So when we come to pray, we are addressing our daddy. We have that intimacy. Abba is also the word that Jesus used when he was praying in Mark chapter 14, 13, verses 35 and 36. And it says, going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, that hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but your will be done. So Jesus is using that word, Abba. He's calling him daddy. He's teaching us. This is how you relate to God. When you are in a time of need, when you are with anything that you need, you come to God as your father. So the first thing is, we are changing our perception of God. When we come to prayer, we have to have that right perception of who God is. He is my dad. I knew that it didn't matter what I needed. Anytime I called my dad, it didn't matter what time it was. And if he didn't know how to fix it, he would find someone or he would find a way to fix it. And if that is true with our earthly father, how much more our God who has an everlasting, perfect love for us. So the next thing that we see in that same verse in 6:9, it says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, when we are going to that portion, it's telling us, hallowed be your name. We need to understand that when we come to pray, like I said before, we're not coming to place an order in Amazon. God is not a genie that we're just going to rub the lamp and here are my three wishes. It's all about me. No. when we pray, we want to make sure that we understand that praying is about God. Pastor Rob had talked to us in last month when he was going through James, and right there in James chapter 4, verse 3 said, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Many times when we go to God in prayer, we're just asking all of these things that have nothing to do with God's will. Now, when we pray and we understand, Lord, everything that I want to do, and this is something that as Christians we have to constantly do, I want to honor you with everything. I want to glorify you. We were created for the glory of his name. This is what the Bible tells us. And when we understand that, when we come to pray, we got to make sure that what we're praying for is glorifying God. You know, we're not praying, Lord, you know, if you're having marital problems, you're not praying, Lord, take him. Or take her. You're not praying against your boss. You're not praying against your family members. You're praying for them according to God's will. What is it that God wants to do? We're asking God, we want to glorify him in all that we do. Our main concern in prayer is that God would be honored and glorified in everything that we do. In everything. When we pray, we ask God according to his will. So our expectations of God need to change. We have to have the right expectations. When we're praying, if we're not receiving what we're asking, we have to ask ourselves, am I praying according to God's will? Is this part of what God wants? Is this going to glorify God, or is it just for my own motives? Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, the next point is, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whose will? God's. Whose kingdom? God's. So we're going to be praying in partnership with God. Again, we need to know what God's will is. We need to know what his heart is so that we can align ourselves. So for example, if how many of you would like to get a raise in your job, in your pay, right? We all want it. However, if you're not a good employee, and if you're not doing what you're supposed to, you can pray all you want. You're not going to get that raise. Because you're not doing your part. The Bible does say that a worker is worthy of their pay, that they deserve to get their pay, right? So if I'm going to pray, Lord, I want a raise, I need to make sure that I am aligned with what God has already said. I need to make sure that I'm being a good employee, that I am doing things for the glory of God, that I'm honoring God in my job, that I am doing, that I am responsible, I'm respectful, I'm doing what I'm supposed to. Then I can pray and God will answer. We don't receive because we're praying wrong, because many times we're not living right. We're doing whatever we want and asking God to come and fix our issues. And that's not how it works. When we pray in partnership with God. God, what is your will? The Bible says that it is his will that no one will perish, but they will all have eternal life. It's God's will that everyone will come to the knowledge of Christ. So if you and I have family members that do not serve God, it is in God's will that they will come to know him. So when we pray, Lord, reveal yourself to my child, to my spouse, to my friends, to my family, to my neighbors, we are praying according to God's will. When we understand what's going on in heaven, because it's saying on earth, as it is in heaven. I read a book about, and it's called that, Heaven on Earth. And it's talking about how we need to understand what goes on in heaven. What is allowed in heaven? What happens in heaven? God, heaven is a perfect place where God's presence is. And when we're saying, God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's like, Lord, we want to align our lives so that everything that is happening in earth, on heaven, is what's happening on earth. So we're saying, Lord, in heaven there's no sickness. We are not going to accept sickness. We're going to pray against sickness. We're going to pray for healing. Jesus in the cross, he paid the price. The Bible says that by his wounds, we are what? Healed. So it is okay to pray for someone to be healed. And yes, there are times that God will not heal the person, and God knows what's going on. There are times that God is going to give them a perfect body as he takes them up to heaven. But there are times that God is expecting you and I to pray and trust God for that healing, that we're praying for the restoration of lives, that we're praying for our country. The Bible does say, pray for the land to which I took you.
pray for the peace of that land. Pray for the peace of Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for your leaders, for your governors, the people that are governing our nation. We need to pray for them. Not about them and not against them, but pray for them. And we as a church need to go back to those things. What is it that God told us to do? If as a church we stand up and begin to pray, but really pray, things will begin to change. We will see change. We are not going to need the protest. We're not going to need the government to do all crazy things, because God is going to begin to move in a mighty and powerful way if you and I begin to pray and partner with God, asking him, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Obviously, it has to start with our own lives, because we can't ask God to be doing God's will in someone else's life if we're doing whatever we want. So we are asking God. We want to be in partnership with God. Verse 11, it says, give us today our daily bread. Now, when it talks about give us today our daily bread, go back one. It's not just talking about, oh, it's the only bread that I'm going to get. It talks about the whole supplying all of our needs. It talks about God knows exactly what we need every day, and we're going to come to him and say, God, I know you know what I need, and I'm going to ask God for those to supply those needs. We're depending on God. On Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. We are asking for and trusting God for meeting our needs. When we're praying, it's okay. Yes, I said that we don't come to make an Amazon list, but it is okay to ask him, because he is the one that provides what? Does it say some of our needs? All of our needs. He will supply all of our needs. When we come to the Lord and we have that right attitude, we have the right perception, we have the right expectations, and we come to the Lord and we're trusting him to supply every single need. And let me tell you something, when we're trusting in God and we're praying and we're really waiting, God will do some amazing things. I don't know how many of you have experienced God supplying your needs in a miraculous way. I have seen it, and I know God continues to do that now. This church is still standing because we have been praying. There was a group of people that were praying, God, you will supply what we need. You will supply. You know exactly what we need. Not what we want, but what we need. And God has been supplying every single step. When I look back at last year, I know that there was one thing that kept us going, and it was praying. We were praying, praying, and praying, and praying, and it was a hard year. But God showed up every single time, because he will supply our needs as we pray and we ask him and we trust him. Now, verse 12, and this is a verse that not many people will like. It says, and forgive us our debts. Everybody likes that part. As we also have what? Forgiven our debtors. When we come in prayer, we need to humble our hearts in forgiveness. And there's two parts to this, and it's very important, and it's something I think that most people will struggle with. And if we're honest, it's probably why we have a hard time sometimes praying. The first thing that we have to understand is that we need to humble ourselves and confess our sins to God. We can't go on living our lives like we don't sin. We have committed sin. We don't live a life of sin. We don't practice sin like, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go sin. No, we want to live for God, but we will have those moments, and we will fall, and we will commit sin, and we need to come to God, and we need to repent. The Bible says in Psalm 139, the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. So this is showing what? That humility, that honesty. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. When we come to God in prayer, we need to tell him, Lord, here I am. I am, and if you can't think of anything, ask him, is there anything in me that doesn't please you? Is there anything in me that you don't like? I remember many years ago, I was in a retreat, and I was a very sarcastic person. There's still a little bit left. A little. But I remember I was, we finished the administration. We were staying at a hotel. We go to our room, and the girl that was next to me, she fell asleep. The one on this other bed was asleep, and I'm just like, I'm going to read the Bible, you know, as if God had not beaten me up enough. So I read, and it said, let your gentleness be known to all. And I was like, oh. And I heard God speaking, and he goes, you're not gentle. You're not sweet. You're not nice. And I don't like it. I was like, you talking to her? She's asleep. Want me to wake her up? Because you can't possibly be talking to me. I'm the sweetest person ever. Like, I could not believe that God was telling me, you're not nice. And I don't like it. I cried, and I felt so bad after I said, you know, it's like, he's asleep. For God to tell you that you're not nice, for God to tell you you're not gentle, you're not sweet, and I don't like it, oh, that hurts. And we need to humble ourselves. We need to learn to be honest, and we need to let God deal with us and be honest. I had to ask God for repentance. Lord, I am so sorry. And it wasn't just, I am so sorry, and the next day I was no longer sarcastic. Again, I already made the disclaimer. There's still a little bit left. It was a constant work. You have to put the effort. There are things that we all struggle with. Can we be honest? There are some things that you say, I don't have a problem with that, but this little thing right here. It's my weakness. This little thing right here is what I'm struggling with. And when we come to the Lord and you're honest and you say, Lord, I need your help. This is the sin that is that I'm battling with, the one that I am constantly fighting against. It could be so many things. Look in the Bible. There's a lot of different things. Maybe it's anger. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you have a potty mouth. I don't know what it is, but we all have something that we're constantly battling. Maybe it's lying. There's some people who lie, and they don't even realize that they're lying. You just look at them like, really? I was there. That's not how it happened. But when we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, I need your help. We need to be honest. We need to confess our sins. We need to ask God, show me, Lord, what areas of my life still need to change. When God told me that, I knew I had to get rid of sarcasm, and I've been working on it for a very long time. Sometimes it's better than others, but some people don't help. Some people just push me to be sarcastic, and I repent, and I just look at them and say, okay. Now, it's not just about confessing our sins to the Lord. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. So when we confess our sins and we have repented, and it's a true repentance, God will forgive us. Our part is to accept that forgiveness. And many of us have a very hard time accepting that God has forgiven us. And we continue to blame ourselves. We continue to punish ourselves for the things that God has already forgiven. And then we can't have that relationship with God because we're saying, how can a perfect God have a relationship with me who is so imperfect and is constantly failing him? Now, we go back to the part of God being who? Our Father who loves us. God forgives all of our sins, and he cleanses us from all our wickedness. Therefore, we need to accept God's forgiveness, and we have to get rid of all the shame and guilt. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, so now there is what? No condemnation for those who belong to who? To Christ Jesus. When you and I gave our lives to the Lord, we now belong to Christ. We have repented of our sins. And this is something that we don't do just the one time. We have to constantly come to the Lord, repent of our sins, and surrender to him. We are justified, but we have to be sanctified. Sanctification is a process. Jesus paid the price. We are going to heaven. He paid the price. But in this walk, in this journey, we are being sanctified. We are becoming more like Christ. We're getting rid of the things that do not please God. And when we're praying, that is going to help us get to that next point, because there are times that only God can help you get over certain situations. And then only God can help you change so that you don't continue falling in the same sin.
And then the next portion, because, you know, so we are talking about forgiveness for our sins. But that verse says, forgive us our debts as what? As we have also forgiven our debtors. So when it comes to this, to prayer, we need to forgive the people that have hurt us. And this is hard. The Bible says in Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. And if any of you has any grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, the next one. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, what does it say? Forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Many times we want God to forgive us, but we're not willing to forgive people who have hurt us. And I know that many of us have experienced a lot of pain and a lot of things, and it's really hard sometimes to forgive someone who has done things to you. It's not easy, but it's a decision and it is possible. The Bible says, do not judge, you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. You know, one thing that we have to remember is that we have offended and we have failed a perfect, loving God. And God has forgiven us of what? All of our sins. There are people that will hurt you. There are people that probably have hurt you, offended you, upset you, crossed not one line, all of the lines. They erased the lines and they have completely done whatever they want in your lives. And the worst thing is that they have never apologized for it. Because some people will apologize, but some people won't. And then you have the people that apologize but continue to do it. God is not telling you only forgive those who apologize to you. God doesn't say forgive those who changed their behaviors. God says that we need to forgive those that have offended us. If we want our debts to be forgiven, if we want our sins to be forgiven, we need to forgive. And forgiveness is a decision that you make. It's not a feeling. You may not feel like forgiving them. You may want them paying for whatever they did. And sometimes you have to be honest and you have to tell God, I don't want to forgive. Because when you forgive someone, you declare that that debt has been paid. And how many of us can be honest and say, no, I want them to pay. I don't want to let them off the hook. I really want them to suffer for what they did. They deserve to pay for what they did to me. And when you forgive, you're saying that debt is paid. You no longer owe me for what you did. And it's not necessarily that you want to have a relationship with that person again and allow them to hurt you over and over. That's not what it is. That's not healthy. That's not what God is asking. But in your heart, you cannot hold a grudge. In your heart, you have to let it go. And it's not easy, but it is what God is asking us to do. We want our prayers to be answered. We want to grow in the Lord. We want to see God move in our church, in our community, in our nation. You and I need to begin by forgiving those who have offended us, just like God has forgiven us. In Matthew, in the same chapter, verses 14 and 15, it says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's rough. And this was Jesus speaking. When you think about the fact that if I don't forgive that person that hurt me, God is not going to forgive me. It's going to change things a little. If we're honest, it's going to change things. I don't know how many of you want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell because I couldn't forgive someone. I don't want that someone else's actions determine my future. Not anymore. Not when Jesus paid a price. Not when Jesus cleansed me. Not when Jesus has given me everything that I need to be a new creation, to be able to have a relationship with him. I will no longer hold that in my heart. I had been talking to a therapist, and it's so funny. I had shared this with Stephanie and with Maria, and it was very interesting because when I talk to you about forgiveness, I'm not saying that, you know, nothing. Oh yeah, I was able to forgive everybody. There are times that you think you have forgiven someone, and something will happen, and it triggers those angry feelings. And I was talking to the therapist, and she's not Christian. But the funniest thing is that a lot of the principles that we have talked about, they're in the Bible. And I think it's hysterical. She's talking to me about different things, and I'm like writing down my notes on the Bible verses. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right in the Bible. That's in the Bible. And one of the things that she, when we're talking about forgiveness and just letting things go, and she just said one phrase. She goes, you don't live there anymore. That, something as simple as that. And the Holy Spirit just came in that room, and I started to cry. And she's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. Because I was reminded, that is my past. That is not my present. God has already delivered me from that. I no longer live in that situation. That situation no longer should affect me. That is not my address. So when the enemy continues to bring you the past of that person who hurt you, you have to remind yourself, I don't live there anymore. God has changed me. He changed my destiny. He changed my past. He wiped away all my tears. He's healing my heart. Therefore, I no longer have to hold this grudge. I can forgive this person that has hurt me. I want to share a short video about forgiveness. Just very short, Alex. We have to choose to forgive. And it is extremely important as we grow in the Lord and as we grow in our lives, in our journeys, we need to choose to forgive. And I think that is extremely important for us. If we're going to go deeper into prayer as the weeks come, but we cannot grow as Christians unless we truly forgive and let it go and really trust God. And the only thing that we have that is going to really help us is His word. If you see most of those, the signs, they were put in the Bible. And let me tell you, I had to quote a lot of Bible so that my heart could align itself with what God has already spoken. And prayer can be things that you say. Prayer can be songs. One of my favorite ways to pray is singing, because you can express everything to God. And we need to really be honest and humble ourselves and forgive. We want God to answer our prayers. We want to see a miracle. We want to see revival in our church, in our community. We need to start by accepting God's forgiveness and forgiving those who have hurt us. Because what happens if one of those people walks through those doors and they need Jesus? Are we going to walk out the other door because we can't be in the same place with that person? The next time that you pray for the people that hurt you. Pray for them.
That will help you heal more than anything, because that's when you know you're humbling yourself and you're aligning yourself with what God says and you're in partnership with God. God, have mercy on this person. Do forgive them. They do not know what they have done. Father, have mercy. Do not count it against them. Lord, help them see your ways. Lord, have mercy. Prosper them. Bless them. You, when we start praying for that person, you will see that your heart begins to heal. And I pray your lives will change. Matthew 6, verse 13 says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." When we're praying, we're yielding to God's guidance and protection. And I don't know if you have been here in the mornings when Pastor is praying before the service starts. And he has already talked to us a couple of times about praying. And he follows a very simple four steps. P for praising God, R for repentance, A for asking God what we need, and Y for yielding. We need to yield to God's guidance and protection, because we can ask God for a lot of things, but if our hearts are not aligned and if we're not yielding to his guidance and having him lead us, but truly lead us, like Pastor said, many people will say, you know, God is my Jesus is my Savior, but they do not see him as Lord. They do not accept his lordship, him telling us where to go, how to do things. And we need to do that. The Bible says in 2 Timothy verse chapter 4, verse 18, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. "But the Lord is what? Faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one." When we come and pray and we're yielding to the Lord and we're listening to his word, he will lead you. He will tell you the way that you will go. He will show you the things that he will have you do. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 3 and 4, it says, "My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence." And I just want to point where it says the horn of my salvation. When people went to war, they would blow a horn and you would know that everybody was coming. And what it's talking about is that he is the horn. He brings the whole army to save me. My stronghold, my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. When we understand that this is the God we're praying to, it changes everything, because you know that he is my God. He is my dad. He is the one that protects me. He's the one that paid the price for me. There's nothing he wouldn't do to make sure that I was okay. How many of you are parents here? And how many of you are grandparents? Because it is worst. When that kid, I know that when Sarah says, "Daddy," I know Patrick's whole it changes. It's like, he doesn't matter what he's doing. What? It's I love that. When Addison says, "Grandma Mimi," my whole heart melts. And I'm like, "Yes, honey." It's such an amazing feeling when your little one is calling your name. And you know, as a mom, you could be busy and you could be doing 1,000 things. And you know when your kid is calling just to bother you, "Mom, mom, mom, mom." But there's a certain call, like, "Mom." And you know they need you. You drop everything and you come to the rescue. And we are people with failures. We are people with a lot of mistakes. We're people that do a lot of ugly things sometimes. Could you imagine how much more our God, every time we call upon his name, he stops and listens? If we understood that there's nothing stopping you from having a conversation with your Father, from having a relationship with your Lord, he is our God. He is our dad. So as we close today, I just want to remind you these things. When it comes to prayer, the first thing that we want to do is that we want to understand that it's in private. Prayer is between you and God. You don't have to worry about everybody. You don't have to worry about what you sound like when you're praying, you know. And let me tell you, as you pray, it will sound better.
it will sound a little more organized, a little more professional. But God is not looking for those big words. You know what God is looking for your heart. God is looking for you to say, hey, God, I need you. I want to talk to you. Have it sit here with me. You know, when I'm riding the motorcycle, God, you want to hop in the back? Or you can ride, whatever. But to have that conversation in private, have the right perception of God. Remember that he is your daddy. He is your dad and he loves you. Everything that we're going to pray for is for the glory and honor of our God. We're going to make sure that what we're praying for is his will. So what do we need to do? We need to learn his will. We need to read the Bible so that we know if what we're praying for is really aligned with what he wants. We need to ask God and trust that he will supply all of our needs as we're asking. So total dependence on God. We need to humble our hearts. Be honest. Are you struggling with sin? Confess your sins to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness, accept his forgiveness, forgive others, and then just completely surrender to the Lord. I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to pray. The best way to learn how to pray is to pray. You can read all the books in the world. You can watch all the videos, listen to all the preachings. The only thing that's going to make you better at praying is when you pray. And I'm going to make a challenge. This week, you know, we're starting this whole series on prayer. Take 5 to 10 minutes just to pray. Just turn everything else off. You can have music in the background because I love music in the background all the time. And pray. Follow the 4 steps that Pastor Rob always mentions. The praise, repent, ask for what you need, and yield. And make sure that you are following that outline, that we are aligning ourselves with God. And pray. Take a few minutes and let's see what happens. Let's see what happens between now and Sunday if we truly take some time to pray. When you are driving, instead of being all upset at everybody, pray for those drivers. Pray for them. Pray for the people to cut you off. Maybe they're not in the right mindset. Lord, have mercy on that person. I don't know what they're going through, but show them what they're doing, Lord. If they're having trouble at home, Lord, just show yourself to them. Pray for the people that you work with. When the coworker that annoys you, the people that are super loud, everybody, just pray. And again, do it throughout the whole day. Just make it a point. I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to you, God. And let's see what happens. Let's see how our lives change between now and the end of this year. Father, we come before you.